for the Duchess, who had grown thin and frail, even as her belly had grown round and wide. They tried not to be too hopeful. After all, the Duchess had already delivered and buried two babes, and even if she did manage to safely deliver a child, it could be, well, a girl. As the Duchess's screams grew louder and more frequent, the Duke shoved his way into her chamber, ignoring the protests of the doctor, the midwife, and Her Grace's maid. It was a bloody mess, but the Duke was determined to be present when the babe's sex was revealed. The head appeared, then the shoulders. All leaned forward to watch as the Duchess strained and pushed, and then the Duke knew that there was a God, and he still smiled on the Bassetts. He allowed the midwife 1 minute to clean the babe, then took the little boy into his arms and marched into the great hall to show him off.
"I have a son," he boomed, "a perfect little son."
And while the servants cheered and wept with relief, the Duke looked down upon the tiny little Earl and said,
"You are perfect. You are a Basset. You are mine."
The Duke wanted to take the boy outside to prove to everyone that he had finally sired a healthy male child, but there was a slight chill in the early April air, so he allowed the midwife to take the babe back to his mother. The Duke mounted one of his prized geldings and rode off to celebrate, shouting his good fortune to all who would listen. Meanwhile, the Duchess, who had been bleeding steadily since the birth, slipped into unconsciousness, and then finally just slipped away. The Duke mourned his wife. He truly did. He hadn't loved her, of course, and she hadn't loved him, but they'd been friends in an oddly distant sort of way. The Duke hadn't expected anything more from marriage than a son and an heir, and in that regard, his wife had proven herself an exemplary spouse. He arranged for fresh flowers to be laid at the base of her funereal monument every week, no matter the season, and her portrait was moved from the sitting room to the hall in a position of great honour over the staircase. And then the Duke got on with the business of raising his son. There wasn't much he could do in the first year, of course. The babe was too young for lectures on land management and responsibility, so the Duke left Simon in the care of his nurse and went to London, where his life continued much as it had before he'd been blessed by parenthood, except that he forced everyone, even the king, to gaze upon the miniature he'd had painted of his son shortly after his birth. The Duke visited Cliveden from time to time, then returned for good on Simon's second birthday, ready to take the young lad's education in hand. A pony had been purchased. A small gun had been selected for future use at the fox hunt, and tutors were engaged in every subject known to man.
"He's too young for all that," Nurse Hopkins exclaimed.
"Nonsense," Hastings replied condescendingly. "Clearly I don't expect him to master any of this any time soon, but it is never too early to begin a duke's education."
"He's not a duke," Nurse muttered.
"He will be."
Hastings turned his back on her and crouched beside his son, who was building an asymmetrical castle with a set of blocks on the floor. The Duke hadn't been down to Cliveden in several months and was pleased with Simon's growth. He was a sturdy, healthy young boy, with glossy brown hair and clear blue eyes.
"What are you building there, son?"
Simon smiled and pointed. Hastings looked up at Nurse Hopkins.
"Doesn't he speak?"
She shook her head.
"Not yet, Your Grace."
The Duke frowned.
"He's two. Shouldn't he be speaking?"
"Some children take longer than others, Your Grace. He's clearly a bright young boy."
"Of course he's bright. He's a Basset."
Nurse nodded. She always nodded when the Duke talked about the superiority of the Basset blood.
"Maybe," she suggested, "he just doesn't have anything he wants to say."
The Duke didn't look convinced, but he handed Simon a toy soldier, patted him on the head, and left the house to go exercise the new mare he'd purchased from Lord Worth. 2 years later, however, he wasn't so sanguine.
"Why isn't he talking?"